All right, 1 Peter 3, please. Same place we've been for the last month. There you go. All right, 1 Peter 3. The lesson is be strong in suffering, continuing in our series. Got it. That's not the right screen. Yeah, it is up there. It's not here. Okay. Anyway, the lesson is be strong in suffering. 1 Peter 3. Let's go to verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You know, suffering is one of those subjects that can be really difficult to discuss. This is not right. Crud. This is not right. Here, I can do this. Okay. Anyway, suffering. Why me? Why now? What is God doing? What could God possibly be doing? Suffering is a tool that God uses to get our attention and to accomplish His purpose in our lives. It is designed to build our trust in the Almighty, but suffering requires the right response if it is to be successful in accomplishing God's purposes. Suffering forces us to turn from trust in our own resources to trust in God's resources, to faith in God's resources. Suffering in and of itself is not virtuous, nor is it a sign of holiness. It is also not a means of gaining points with God or of subduing the flesh. It doesn't work that way. Hey, Denny, can you fix the PowerPoint? Suffering is also not a means of gaining points with God. When possible, suffering is to be avoided, if at all possible. Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other. They're both coming to God's hand. It's both part of both part of the Christian life. And suffering is not something we like to discuss. It is hard. Sometimes it's brutal. But part of seeking first the kingdom of God is to live with the perspective that God puts everything. That in everything we put God first, including our suffering. Especially our suffering, if you think about it. Most of the Psalms were born in difficulty. Most of the epistles are written in prison. You know, not a good place. Most of the greatest thoughts of the greatest thinkers of all time had to pass through the fire. Paul Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress from jail. Sometimes it seems that when God is about to make preeminent use of a man, he puts him through the fire. It's a necessary component in living for Christ. So some of the general causes of suffering we'll cover real quick. We suffer because we live in a fallen world full of sinners. Sin reigns in the heart of man. We suffer because of our own foolishness. We reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You reap what you sow. We really do. Sometimes we suffer because it's God's discipline in our lives. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We may suffer persecution because of our faith, actually standing for Christ. And especially when they take a stand on biblical issues, suffering for righteousness' sake. Come on, today. This thing is not set up right. Yay, all. No, come on, where'd it go? Get me back to where it says all of, yes, that one, thank you. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Sometimes living for Christ just brings that result. Of course, all of these do not apply all at the same time, as it never does. All suffering is not, for instance, a product of our foolishness, self-induced misery, or even our own sin. It is true, however, that rarely does suffering not reveal areas of need, or areas of weakness, or wrong attitudes that need to be removed. You know, these need to be removed like gold, like the refining process of gold. Excuse me. One more. Let's hear one more. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. The trial of your faith, it is a special thing. It's something that should be very, very precious to us. All right, so what's the nature of suffering? Suffering is painful. Suffering is hard. It is never easy. Regardless of what we know and how hard we apply the principles, it is going to hurt. It is. Let's try one. Excellent. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Can you guys read that? Okay. As I'm putting it together, I'm thinking, man, that's way too small. Okay. Anyway, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Being in heaviness has the idea of to cause pain, to cause sorrow, to cause grief. That's what our temptations do to us. Suffering is often perplexing. Sometimes it's really, really mysterious. We have no idea what's going on. You know, why now? What is God doing? In this, suffering is designed to build our trust in the Almighty. You know, a clay pot sitting in the sun all day will still be a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace in order to become porcelain. It's just sometimes that's what it takes to bring in our best. Suffering is purposeful. Excellent. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God decided before creation itself that if you are in Christ, you will be conformed to the image of Jesus. Buckle up. It's coming. Be ready. Suffering also tests us. You'll see a lot of these same verses over and over. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Doesn't that sound counterintuitive? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Temptations means specifically to put to the proof, to prove something. Usually to yourself, obviously. Suffering is that which proves one's character and integrity along with both the object and the quality of one's faith. The trial of your faith is exactly that, put to the test, to prove by testing. The same terminology is used in 1 Peter. It's amazing how many times you... Come on, today. There you go. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter says a lot of the same thing. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not only are you being tried, but your attitude towards testing should be one of value. Though it be much value. It's important. It's valuable. It is comforting to know that God is working. And anything He puts you through is for your own benefit. There's comfort in that. There's a comfort in knowing that God loves you and only wants the best for you. Of course, suffering is a process. Romans 5. And we know, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. There's a whole process of how God accomplishes these things in your life. God has a way of doing things decently and in order. What's next? James again. Yeah, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. There's a process going on. You need to stick with it and stay with it. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As a process, it takes time. The results that God seeks to accomplish with the trials of life require time, and therefore require patience and endurance. Suffering is a purifier. No matter the reason, even if it's not God's discipline for blatant carnality, it is a purifier. Because none of us will ever be perfect in this life. And Paul easily admitted that he is on this journey also. You know, a lot of preachers practically deify Paul. His own testimony will say otherwise. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. He knew himself. Just like we all do, we know ourselves. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's pretty humble about his condition. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He is forever on this growth cycle. He understands this cycle. He understands how it works. This is good. My favorite guy, Job. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's important as a verse. When they used to refine gold, way back when, they would put it on a fire, and they would go through and scrape off the dross, and scrape off the dross, and scrape off the dross. The gold wasn't done until the refiner could see his face in the gold. It was that reflective. He could see his face in it. That's what suffering does for us. You know, the Lord will just keep doing it until he sees his face reflected back from us. The best of God's men, all of the best, all of the ones that really made the Lord proud, all went through this process. Every single one. In fact, the Bible says that. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The very best of God's men have had to endure this process. Every Christian does. Every Christian should. Every Christian should. Suffering provides opportunity for God's glory, for our transformation, testimony, and ministry. Suffering, most importantly, requires our cooperation. Suffering requires our right response if it is to be successful in accomplishing God's purposes. We need to have the proper response to it. You know, we all want the product character, but we don't want the process, suffering. You know. Because of our makeup as human beings, we cannot have one without the other. It is a matter of submission. Submission to God's will. If you fight against it, whine, and complain constantly, your testimony will be practically worthless. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. If I've committed whatever I'm going through to God, I'm not going to be whining, complaining, and, you know, going through that whole mess. And lastly is this part. Suffering is predetermined and inevitable. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that before we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. The question we must each face is not if we're going to have trials. The question is, how will we respond when trials come? Because they are coming. Any true child of God is going to deal with it. It's God's promise. Suffering is a struggle. Suffering is always a struggle. It's going to be a battle all the way. That's why they're called trials and testings. Even when we understand the purposes and principles, I've lost my place. It's going to be one of those lessons. Even when we understand the purposes and principles of suffering, and we know the promises that God has given us, it's never easy because suffering just hurts. We just hate going through it. Trials simply give us the capacity to cooperate with this process. They allow the process to work and allow us to experience inner peace and joy in the midst of the trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. Cooperate with what God is doing. Submit to what God is doing. That's so important. In order to handle suffering with inner joy and tranquility, we must be able to look ahead to God's purposes and His reasons for our suffering. This requires faith in the eternal truth that God has given us. We must have faith in God in order to get through this stuff. Cooperation with God. Patience in the spirit of submission. Our cooperation with God. You know, there's a number of reasons, of course, for suffering. Let's try this one. We suffer as a testimony, as a witness. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Where have we heard that before? Any idea? Be ready to give an answer. Where have we heard that before? Cole's lesson last week. Be ready to give an answer. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready. If you can have a sweet, joyful countenance and attitude going through suffering, people will want to know how that's even possible. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. And of course, I'm completely lost from where I'm at. All right. I do this all the time. It happens. Some lessons, every time I look up, I lose my place. Your attitude to suffering can be a huge witness for Christ. People are watching. People are watching. Usually they're watching and waiting for you to screw up, but in this case, you know, if they watch long enough, they'll see the reality of Christ in your life. They can see that. They're watching, and they want to know how you can have a good attitude towards suffering. Have an answer ready. When believers suffer joyfully and with stability, it becomes a powerful testimony to the lost. They cannot deny that. Suffering provides key opportunities to manifest and magnify the power of God through His servants. It provides opportunities to reveal our credentials as ambassadors of Christ. Oh, come on. When Jesus heard that, He said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Whoever that person was able to use his testimony for the glory of God. Yes, God is glorified by this. Definitely. It stinks that Lazarus had to go through what he did. It really does. But God made it up to him. Don't worry. Turn to John chapter 9. New Testament somewhere. Let's see. John chapter 9. Sometimes suffering will allow us to manifest the power of God to other people. Verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did this? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Whatever he went through being blind since birth is an opportunity to glorify God. For God to be glorified somehow, some way. That's a big deal. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Way too far. 2 Corinthians 12. And of course the verse is not on here. Let me see. We'll just pop it up on the wall. And Paul speaking, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." It sounds odd that God would do that to Paul. But he saw his thorn in the flesh as an instrument allowed by God to help him maintain a spirit of humility and dependence on God. Why? Don't forget, Paul was given something very, very special. And he was allowed to, he was taken up into the third heaven. He was allowed to see heaven before he got there. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it really, really is. But Paul did have a thorn in the flesh. And unless he became prideful, he was given something very special. Paul speaking again. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, speaking of his thorn in the flesh. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is glorified in Paul's weakness. If you can imagine that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That's a powerful testimony. He was able to experience God's power and presence more fully in his weakness. You know, most of us would just complain about the weakness, and complain about the thorn and the wine, and whoever would listen would hear all about it. But Paul says God's power was manifest in his weakness. And he was joyful about it. To manifest the character of Christ in the midst of suffering as a testimony to win others to Christ. We are troubled on every side, not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. There's more. But wait, there's more. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Christ can shine through us, given the opportunity. Given your submission, given your cooperation, given the opportunity. Christ can shine through us. The unsaved need to see the reality of Christ in our everyday life. They need to see it in our everyday life. Nowhere is this more evident or influential than in our sufferings. We suffer to develop our capacity and our sympathy in comforting others. I like this verse. This is great. God, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Our experience, our testimony, can be used to help other Christians. It's a beautiful thing. I got it again later, so I'll expand on it later. When we suffer, to develop our capacity and sympathy in comforting others. We suffer as a training tool. God lovingly and faithfully uses suffering to develop personal righteousness and maturity in us. In this sense, your suffering is designed specifically for you. Designer temptation. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Suffering is also used as discipline for sin, to bring us back to fellowship through confession. Now this is from David. This is pretty cool. David speaking, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Kind of how I feel after yesterday's activity. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. David was really, really going through it at this time. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David speaking. David understood the concept of a good purging. He knew the value of a good, thorough purging. Suffering can be used as a pruning tool to remove dead wood from our lives. The desired goal is always increased fruitfulness. Oh, yeah, right. That was the last one. Sorry, guys. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Then it may bring forth more fruit. It's a continuing work in our lives. It's always the goal of us being more fruitful, more like Christ. Trials may become mirrors of reproof to heal, Trials may become mirrors of reproof to reveal hidden areas of sin and weakness. The idea is that I can see myself and my sin as I read the Word. Another reason to read the Bible every day, because we can actually see ourselves in it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. David speaking again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. It's something that God uses in our lives to make us better, to make us more like Him. Trials are a tool for growth designed to make us, to help us, to cause us to rely on the Lord and His Word. Trials test our faith and cause us to remember the promises and principles of God. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. David speaking again. Suffering and trial teach us the truths of Scripture. It's important. They go hand in hand. Come on. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. This is David speaking again. Suffering is also a means of learning what obedience really means. It becomes a test of our loyalty. Speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Imagine that. If Jesus had to learn this, do you really think we're going to get away without learning it ourselves? Really? If a father tells his son to do something he likes to do, let's say eat a bowl of ice cream, and the child does it, the child is a baby, he hasn't really learned anything about obedience. If his dad, however, asks him to mow the lawn, that becomes a test and teaches something about the meaning of obedience. The point is, obedience often costs us something, and it can be hard. It can be very hard. It requires sacrifice and courage and discipline. Also, faith in the belief that God is good and has our best interest at heart. Regardless of how things might appear to us, regardless of the reason God allows suffering in our lives, rarely does it not reveal areas of need and weakness and wrong attitudes and whatnot. Just like it did back in Job. Suffering is not the thing that produces faith and maturity. It's only a tool that God uses to bring us to Himself, so we will respond to Him and to His Word. Let's see. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It forces us to turn from trust in our own resources to living by faith in God and His resources. It causes us to put first things first. You know, it's like when a tragedy happens, a whole nation, all of a sudden everybody starts praying. You know, that's part of how the whole system is designed, that when things are bad, you turn to God. When you're suffering, you turn to God. When you have a trial, you turn to God. It's part of how we're set up as people. Ultimately, it is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that produces faith and mature Christ-like character. Speaking of which, can you read that one? And then from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Profitable for reproof is learning when God points out something wrong in your life. That's a large part of this whole thing. To teach you what's right, to teach you what's wrong. The Lord uses trials to test our faith in the sense of purifying it, to bring it to the surface. So we're forced to put our faith to work. We suffer to bring about continued dependence on the grace and power of God. Suffering is designed to cause us to walk by God's ability, by His power and His provision, rather than by our own, which we always want to do. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is how you're strong in the Lord. Walk in His power, not your own. Walk in His power. Whatever you may think of yourself as a Christian, put it aside and walk in His power. Do it His way. It causes us to turn from our resources to His resources. We also suffer to manifest the life and character of Christ. And I think we discussed this already. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Like I said, someone you know needs to see the reality of Christ in your life. And I probably don't have time for this one. I'll do it anyway. One of the great things about this verse, he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know, we have troubles, we have problems, we have issues, but they don't stress us out. They don't distress us. We're perplexed, but not in despair. A born-again child of God, right with God, should never know despair in any way, shape, or form, ever. Someone you know needs to see the reality of Christ in your life. They need to see this. Maybe your family, friends, coworkers. Maybe just your kids. You know, they're always watching. They're always watching. That can be a powerful testimony to a child to see his father buck up through really difficult times. To lean on the Lord and be a powerful testimony. That can be an extraordinarily big deal. I might actually get this done. Say it again. So, suffering has both a negative and a positive aspect. In a negative sense, suffering helps us remove impurities from our lives, such as indifference, self-trust, false motives, self-centeredness, the wrong values and priorities, relying on man-made solutions rather than God's solutions to our problems. It is God's grace that changes us. You know, this negative aspect is accomplished in two ways. When we're out of fellowship with the Lord, suffering becomes discipline from our Heavenly Father. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Excuse me. When we're out of fellowship with the Lord, suffering becomes discipline from our Heavenly Father. Suffering becomes discipline from our Heavenly Father. Now let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This involves known sin, rebellion, and indifference to God. One of the great things about the communion table is the emphasis and the opportunity to get right with God right now. You know, if I would probably do it slightly differently than he does, but the whole point is, in that time that we're sitting and waiting, we can pray and we can get right with God. It's an excellent opportunity. Excellent opportunity. When you are in fellowship with the Lord, suffering becomes a loving and skillful handiwork of the vine dresser to make us more productive. It involves unknown sin, areas we may not be aware of, but that are nevertheless hindering our growth and fruitfulness. Excuse me. On the positive side, when believers live under suffering joyfully, meaning that they endure and keep on applying the promises and principles of faith, Christ's life or character will be more and more manifested as they grow through the suffering. This means a testimony of trust, peace, joy, stability, biblical values, faithfulness, and obedience. In contrast to the sinful mental attitudes like complaining about life's trials. And people notice that difference. People notice that difference. And of course, on the positive side, we suffer to broaden our ministries. Come on, today. If this thing's a trial. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. God's working and producing greater results. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In the process of producing Christian character and enhancing our testimony to others, suffering often opens up doors to ministry that we may not have imagined before. Paul's imprisonment for as long as he was chained daily to a Roman soldier in his own house. He was chained to a soldier every day. This resulted in the spread of the gospel within the elite imperial Praetorian Guard. You can bet your bottom dollar, Paul witnessed to every person who was chained to him. So that the gospel spread through the Roman Guard. He was undoubtedly continuing to rejoice in the Lord, but if he had been complaining, sulking, bitter, his witness would have been worthless. Nobody would believe it. Nobody would. lost my place again. I'm missing a verse, I think. All right, same one. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not cast down. Cast down, or not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In these two verses, Paul lists suffering, several types of suffering. Your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, the whole gamut. Each of these are different ways that we can suffer, and when suffering comes, often several of these types of suffering are involved. But look at the testimony he gives. I mean, you can't argue with this. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It's his attitude that carries forward and makes him a powerful testimony for Christ, regardless of what's going on. Anyway, suffering also happens in community. The church is not meant to be a loosely found association of functional lone rangers. You know, and that's big for me, because I tend to be a real loner. I really enjoy being by myself. I really do. But the church is meant to be a refuge for those who are suffering. Wait a minute, I missed one here. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we're not supposed to be lone rangers. Paul confronts this type of thinking when he writes this. Bear ye one another's burdens. The church is meant to be a refuge for those who are suffering. When a member is hurting, the church applies the bandage. When a member is down, the church encourages. When a member is in need, the church comes alongside to help. It's just the way it's designed. It's what it's supposed to be. And again, suffering equips us for ministry. First-hand experience in suffering is essential in equipping us for the ministry. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You go through something like that. That's a personal experience that you have. It's a personal testimony you have, how God brought you through it. How God, you know, really manifested himself and really encouraged you and got you through it. I think of Vicki when I talk about this. A lot of you guys are new, but back in 15, she had kidney cancer. She had a huge cancerous growth in her kidney. And actually, I hate to say it this way, but it was great. It really was. When we got the diagnosis from the doctor, and by the time we got out to the car, she's ready to completely break down. And I said, you know, repeat after me. I have cancer. And she said, I have cancer. And I said, and it's going to be all right. And she said, it's going to be all right. The doctor had said, it's the kind of cancer you go in, you take out the kidney oil, and that's it. No chemo, no nothing. It's all gone. And so 7 years, 8 years now, it's all gone. It's not coming back. Hey, praise God. And you've been on this whole thing she's gone through in this last week because she only has one kidney. That's why that's how she only ended up with one kidney. But it's a powerful testimony. And now she has, now that you've gone through your own fiery trials and found God to be true to what he says, you have real help to offer somebody else going through the same thing. It's a powerful testimony. You have first-hand experience of both his God's sustaining grace and his purposeful design. He has kept you through pain. He has reshaped you more into his own image. What you're experiencing from God, you can give away in increasing measure to others. You can give it away to other people as a ministry. That's a prime ministry opportunity that God has handed to you. I'm almost done. I got to hustle here. Just remember, God's work will always be intentional. And always with a purpose. I think I'm skipping a verse here. Hold on. Same process. God's work will always be intentional and with a purpose. One of the things most important in this is suffering is a battleground. Suffering will always be a battleground. Whenever there's suffering, there will always be a battle for your soul. The book of Job shows that there are two ways to respond to suffering. One that curses God because of suffering, and one that praises God, even in the midst of suffering. No, that's not it. That's not it. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou retain that integrity? Curse God and die. That's what his wife told him. And he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive God, good at the hand of God and not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job is an excellent example of how to go through suffering and maintain a good testimony. Many Christian lives and testimonies are going to die in this battleground, this particular battleground of suffering. But Job was able to show us the way. Suffering also tests your faith. I'm trying to hustle here. I'm not really trying to get her done. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I need one more. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The whole meaning of temptations is to prove something. And the purpose of temptations is to make you like Christ, perfect and entire. We saw this in Joseph's circumstances, everything he went through. You know, Christians only know in part because of the mysterious purposes of God. It is clear how suffering began. We may never know why something is happening to us or why something happened to us. Job never did find out what was going on around him. He never did. He would have been overjoyed to know that Satan was silenced by his testimony in the midst of his trials. Job would have been very, very happy, very joyful. The point of all this is, if you are a born again child of God, all suffering has a purpose, and not only a purpose, but the truth, that the knowledge that God is working. You know, the Christian life is all about attitudes. The way to keep a good, healthy attitude is to have the right perspective. Not just the right perspective on suffering, but on all aspects of the Christian life. If God truly comes first, you will have faith to believe that that what He is doing is not only for my good, but for the good of my Christian family. Lastly, if I can get this thing going here. Nope. Yeah, this is the other thing. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Everybody goes through this. Everybody goes through this. Something we need to understand. Okay. On a wall in his bedroom, Charles Spurgeon had a plaque with Isaiah 48:10 on it. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. It is no mean thing to be chosen of God, he wrote. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. Yet here, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. He knew this.